Lord Jesus, thank you so much for gathering us together this morning and in your name having authority with you to pray for our country, for our leaders, for the decisions made for so many millions of people, for our protection, guidance, our children, our families, for jobs, for health, for practical things in life, and mostly, Lord, for us being awake, alive, engaged with you, worshiping and knowing you, trusting in you, Lord, with our hearts, and bring the gospel into the highways and byways. Bring the gospel into the hallways of our government and in the university campuses and in schools and places of work. Bring the gospel of joy, of forgiveness in life. In Christ's name, by your power, do this, Lord, in your name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. We have a little bit of preparation for our message. In a word, it's about being God-focused. It's about practical life, being confronted with God consciousness. Or another way of saying, having God in your life, like every day. Having God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives so that we know how to live and to think, make decisions, be godly, have authority in life. This is Pentecost, 50 days from the resurrection of Christ. Remember, he was here 40 days. He left. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And he was speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit strongly to the disciples as they were waiting there for something. They didn't know what it would be. And then we read about it in the book of Acts in chapter 2. So that's where we're going with our message. First part is chapter 1, Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation, that word means today in our English conversation is like a dialogue or talking, but it really means your way of life. Let your way of life, as becomes the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we have a word study there on stand firm. This is from A.T. Robertson. To stand firm in one spirit, he explains, stand firm is a term used in the context of temptation to defect or panic. It describes someone who wants to give up, give in, and get out. Frightened pictures a timid or a scared horse, skittish. According to Robertson, the best translation is startled. Frightened, timid, scared, skittish, startled. That's the anatomy of anxiety. All right, I want to speak about this standing firm, having God's mind. The context in Philippians is Paul is in jail. He's in jail writing this from Rome. And being in prison, he uses the word joy 25 times in the epistle. And he's also writing about how we don't have anxiety. We are standing firm. We are not worried or afraid. So we could say the Apostle Paul, if you were to look at his life in the horizontal things in his life, prison bars, for example, as he's actually in house arrest. If you look at his life from a horizontally and look at his life, he would have a lot to worry about. He would have a lot to be troubled with. He would be concerned about his future. But you don't read that in the epistle. You read the opposite. Stand firm. Another phrase he uses in the epistle, I believe it's 13 times, is having a mindset, having our mind guarded, or our mind focused, our concentration. We read that in chapter 4, and the mind of Christ in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you. He describes it and really talks about it in the context of not worrying about anything, but rejoicing a lot. Rejoicing always. And this was his theme. So I would like you to build that for you a little bit by turning to the beginning of our Bible, Genesis chapter 2, and see where anxiety kind of comes from. Why do we get nervous and worried and afraid? Because we are made to guard. Genesis 2:15, in our design as people. So let's pray for a minute. Lord Jesus, bless this message. Please lead me what to say, how to say it. Help us hear it, embrace it, and go away today having been fed from your Spirit. In your name, amen. Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So we have man basically made to be a guard, to guard, to keep it, to protect it, to watch over it, to care for it. That's in us. In what way? Well, we guard our house, our possessions. We guard children. We guard our wife or husband or our job. We may guard. We're aware. We are engaged. We are awake. We are protecting, guarding, helping, cultivating. Cultivating the garden, guarding it, watching over it. We're made like this. So when man sinned and he's removed from the garden, now he has a life where he's cursed. He's under a curse. And in the curse, he has a feeling of vanity. Like, does this mean anything? Am I doing the right thing? Does this work? Like something's missing. I'm sweating a lot in my job. I have thorns and briars in the garden. Am I failing at it? I feel like I am. Maybe I'm losing a child, losing a relationship, losing a job. I feel anxiety. I'm worried about it. Usually when we have anxiety as people, there's like two reactions. This is the fear of losing something, the fear of failing in something. We are self-conscious about it, but we are kind of designed also to be a guardian and to care, like I said. So anxiety has two kind of reactions to it. One is, and you could illustrate it by the Apostle Peter when he was not spirit-filled in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came to arrest Jesus. Peter took his sword and cut off somebody's ear, the priest's servant's ear. So we could put down here the ear. Peter takes off an ear, and we could put the word fight. When you feel anxiety in life, you are tempted to fight. We're tempted to react, solve the problem ourselves. We are willing to get engaged, and it can get messy and fight, and there can be damage as a result. Not only to somebody else, but to me, myself. I'm worried, I'm afraid, and so I fight. The other thing that Peter did was he ran away. When the trouble came, he ran away, and this is flight. The fight and flight instinct that we have as people. They're taking Jesus. I'm in trouble. I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving. So when Paul was in jail in Rome and writing to the Philippians, he's like saying to them, we don't live this way anymore. We're not fighting like that, and nor are we running away from life. But instead, we have another option, one that really we've never really had before salvation. Well, before salvation, I didn't know that I could actually live with God and that God would actually be in my life in that way, where I would not be fighting or running away, but I'd be standing firm. I'd be able to be there. I'd be able to have love and peace, wisdom, words, a value in my heart where I'm able to stand there and say, we have a problem, and I'm guarding the garden, so to speak, but I'm not doing it that way, and I'm not doing it that way. We are doing it God's way. In a way, you could say, we could say it this way. Years ago, this came to me. There's the fight, there's the flight, and then there's the float. Where's the float? Noah. Noah in the ark was floating. In a way, when the ark was built, there was a window at the top. It looks like there wasn't any window in the ark except that one. And in a way, that's like a message to us that this is where our mind needs to be. We need to like not give up on God, but be refreshed in our mind and receive from God what he has to say to us. This is what we call our vertical relationship. It's when the Holy Spirit comes into our life in such a way that we realize that we have God as the context for our life. God is in our life. God is in our life. Let's say something about like yesterday we had our graduation and we talked about context. And we said that everybody needs context. And it could be illustrated geographically and physically by by us sitting here on Moravia Park Drive. Where are we? Moravia Park Drive. Where is that in Baltimore? Where is that in Maryland? Where is that in the United States? Where is the United States, North America? Where is that planet Earth? Where is planet Earth in our solar system? Where's our solar system in our galaxy? Where's our galaxy in a part of the universe? Where is the part that's in the universe? Where's the universe? What is that in? What is the universe in? Eventually, you come to God. Amen. That God is holding everything together. But here's the thing. If you take the same picture physically and talk about your life psychologically and spiritually, many people stop at the prison. Where are you? I'm in prison. Well, where is that? That's in Rome. Where is that? That's in the Roman Empire. Where is that? I don't know and I don't care. That's the end. All I know is that I'm in trouble. I'm hurting. I'm running away. I'm afraid. I'm self-conscious, self-occupied. Listen to this. I got a couple statements. I'm constantly turned in upon myself and tuned in only to myself. I'm constantly reflecting on myself, overly concerned with my life in a way that feels self-centered, obsessive, out of control, and abnormal. I feel like something bad is going to happen that I can't control or handle because I'm too weak. I can't seem to stop preparing for the worst and imagining the worst about myself. What's the message there? Me. But I need context. That's not me. But that's God. That's the context for your life is God. Let's turn to the book of Acts and read it there, because this is Pentecost. This is when the lives of these disciples were radically changed. They went from worry to faith. Chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do we have any Pentecostals in the room today? Come on. Yeah. Let me read it again. But you will receive power. Amen. Power. Imagine. Power. Spiritual power. I mean, is it real? Look up at the screen. Fight or flight. Peter ran away. Peter took an ear off. Is there any other Peter that we can find in the Bible? Do we find Peter? Do we find God saying to Peter, I am Christ, I am resurrected, I am the answer, I give you the power, you're able to stand firm, you're able to live in Jerusalem, you're able to preach to your enemies, you're able to love people, you're able to give the gospel out, you're able to be calm and peaceful and wise. You're able to live your life and stand firm in the faith. And all of us know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know what I'm saying. But I'd like to say that if your life is more horizontal, and this is your life generally, then you're going to ask the question, how can I live a practical spiritual life? How can I get the mind of God? How can I have the power of God in my life? How can I get over myself? How can I stop thinking about myself all the time and my problems and my horizontal stuff? Come on, Jesus, how can that happen? How can it happen? And I want to tell you a couple of things about it. But let's read the verse first. Chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Now, what's that mean? They will stop. You say, "How? What's going on in your life?" You say, "Jesus is, he has changed my life. Christ has come into my heart. Christ has anointed me by the Holy Spirit." Well, how come you love people? That Jesus did it. What's your message? Jesus is the message. He's been raised from the dead. How'd that happen? God gave us the Spirit of God. That's in your life. You have the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're able to have focus. You're able to put your heart and mind on Christ and what he said. You're able to hear him and hear what he says and walk by faith in him. You are. You might say, well, I could panic. I could get bad news. Yes, that's life. But the question is, do you realize that God is in your life and that you can live by faith? The key to this, the answer to this question is really faith.
Yes. Amen.
It is. Amen. It's faith, and we'll put here faith thoughts. Faith. Faith in God. I can't see God, but I know he made me. We did not make ourselves, Psalm 100. He made you. He made everything about you. He made all the systems that run your body. He made you and your, did not he that make the outside, make the inside also, in the Gospel of Luke? That you wash the outside of the platter, but doesn't he wash the inside too? Yes, he made us. And he has something to say to us. And it takes some effort. It takes some focus. Yeah, I want to believe. And I want to hear what I want to relate to what he has to say. Okay, so chapter 1. Verse 8, you'll be witnesses unto me. We will say, how do you live in your problem? Because we have Jesus's mind. Remember? Philippians, the mind, right? 25 times, joy, rejoicing, 25 times. Mindset, 13 times. The mind, let this mind be in you. That focus on the mind of God. That's why you came today. You want to hear something from the Word. You want God's mind. You want to understand that we must live by faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. But they that come to God must believe that he is. Listen, believe that he is, that he exists. They that come to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of them that make the effort, have a focus, concentration, like stir yourself up in the faith, hear, believing, mixing faith with what you hear. And hearing, and you are greatly comforted by the ministry of the Spirit with each other in a community, a fellowship of faith. It affects our mind and our hearts. And we see him, we believe him, and we're greatly comforted with his peace in our life.
Amen.
Look at chapter 2. And verse 1, please. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, so 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, 50 days later, there was a particular event that happened. And they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Remember David was battling, and there was at the top of the mulberry trees the sound of a rushing wind in the battle. And that was the Spirit of God moving in the top of the trees. There was a sound of the moving of God. And that happens in your life and in my life. That happens. That does happen. That's amazing. This manifestation. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit isn't always like this. Can be quiet holiness. Just the holiness of God present in the room. Quietness in the heart, peace like a river, very much edified and encouraged and built up. No condemnation, no guilt, no shame, no fear. You don't feel like fighting and taking a guy's ear off, and you don't feel like running away. You stand firm because God is with you. God is present with you. How did you get God? By faith. How do you live? By faith. How do you make decisions? By faith. How do you pray? By faith. You live by faith. How do you hear? By faith. How do you go to church? By faith. How do you make decisions about your life? By faith. You set God before your face. Psalm 16 and verse 8. And that's beautiful. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. And it filled all the house they were sitting, and there appeared cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What an incredible miracle. Speaking in the languages. We have 14 people groups mentioned in that text. Many different languages. We don't know how many, but 120 people are speaking in other languages. How could that happen? The Holy Spirit. Why? God to manifest himself. It's the beginning of the church age. It's God saying, I am with you. It's God bringing the gospel to the world. It's a message of healing. It's a message of comfort. And the primary evidence of this being God is that they're not pulling out a sword and slicing off an ear, and they're not running away. They are in the presence of their enemies, standing firm without reaction, but love and a solid mind. That's what you and I have. But sometimes we forget God, and we get into this horizontal life a lot. We get into our trouble, ourselves, our worries, our fears, our kids, our money, our health, our cancers, our car troubles, our phone calls, our broken hearts, our worries. We get into it so much that it eclipses our relationship. It kind of smothers the Spirit. And especially we start talking and gossiping and criticizing and judging and complaining and maybe cursing and everything and all that stuff that can happen to us as people. And the answer here, the message that I have this morning is, like, don't. And we'll go to Philippians 4 now and look at it. There's a words of advice for Paul saying, I can be in jail and do real well. And you folks can be in your city and you can do real well because you have God's mind. I can be in prison and it's okay. I've learned, whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Look at chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Are you learning anything? Come on. Are you learning? I have learned. What did you learn? I have learned whatever state I am, therewith to be content. How? Because of the mind. The mind I have. The thoughts I have. The focus I have. I have set the Lord before my face. How do you do that? Worship. Listening. Quiet down. Surrender. Bring your stuff before God. Kind of put it there. All the horizontal stuff. And just kind of get beyond it. And be a worshiper. Somebody said to me, when I come to the church, I cross the parking lot with my burdens and the things in my life. I get into the door, I walk in here, and all that's gone. I leave it all alone, and I worship, and I start singing, and I worship, and all that stuff doesn't have the bearing on me. I can relate to it, but it's not my focus. It's not my focus. There's a great story in Mark 5. Verse 25, that illustrates it. Woman has been bleeding for 12 years. Probably, a female problem of some kind. And no solution. She spent all her money on the doctors. But I would say, if that would be typically me, okay, I have something, I can't get out of it, I cannot solve it. It would just bury me. But something happened in her mind. Maybe she heard about Jesus or she saw Jesus. But anyway, something happened and she got this focus in her mind. If I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. That's you see? I got it. I'm good at the first part. But that focus part, that's where what I'm saying. You and I have a capacity for that. If I could listen, if I could put away my problem and not be self-centered and be obsessed with it and have it controlling my life, every thought, every worry, all the anxiety, all the fear, if I could somehow get my focus on the person of God and get way outside the universe, go to where God, go way outside and realize who is God. And that God is a God of my body. God is a God of the details of my life. God is able. God is my buckler. He's my savior. He's the captain. He's the vine. We are the branches. He's the answer. He is the way, the truth, or life. He's the high priest. He is the living sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. He is the one that came into the world and spoke parables and discourses and healings and salvations and walking on water. He's the one that said, I am God. Anybody noticing me? Anybody know who I am? I am God. I am God. There's too little focus on God and a lot on our problems. No wonder we worry and take medications and do whatever we can or take a drink or something. I don't. I hope you don't. I don't drink. I don't want to. I don't need it. I'm so frugal with my money. I'm not spending my money on anything like that. But no. There's peace of God, Philippians chapter 4. There's some other answer. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 12. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I don't mind being hungry, and I don't mind being full and satisfied. And I'm full and satisfied, and then I'm hungry again. I'm hungry for God, and he fills me, and then I'm hungry for God. and he fills us, and we are hungry for God. Because when you find God, he grows on you. You start to think with God. When you find God, you start to relate to him in everything. And those things that kind of bugged you before, that you kind of can guard, but you're a different kind of guard. You're like Jesus guarding the disciples. You're like Jesus healing the woman. You're like somebody that cares for the children. You're like somebody who cares for the elderly. You're like somebody that cares for your church. You're somebody that cares about world missions. You're like somebody who's been sent into the world to care about others, not by bloodshed and not by cowardice, but by standing firm and being there, because you've got the mind of Christ, that Christ gave you his mind. And you're occupied with him and thinking with him, and you have something to bring to the table because of it. Okay, let's finish up. It says here in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Thank you, Apostle Paul, for telling us that. Thank you, Apostle Paul, imprisoned in Rome and saying to the church that you're okay. Oh, yeah, I am okay. The Lord is my portion. He maintains my lot. Let's turn to Psalm 16, verse 5, just so that I get it, because I can't memorize. I cannot quote it exactly, but doing it exact is by reading it, and it's fun. Look at it, chapter 16, verse 5. This is what I want you to say, and this is the closing of the message. This is what I want you to say in your heart. I want you to memorize this text. I want you to think about it. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot. Okay. You maintain the parameters. You know, everybody, you have maybe you have your apartment or your house, and you have a little plot of land. And it's maintained by the law of the land, by the office, the title deed, and the office for the surveyors and everything. It's all legally plotted out. God has a lot for you and I, an inheritance, and he maintains it. He's like keeping it for us. God is in your life. God cares about your heart and mind. Don't feed your mind and heart garbage. If you do, you will worry. You'll be afraid. You'll run away, or you'll do something you wish you hadn't done. And but when God is your portion, you're going to do well. You're going to be okay. You're going to do well. You can do all things through him. You're going to be okay. Look at verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins, that's the emotions, also instruct me in the night seasons. I have healthy emotions. Even they instruct me. My emotions help me. The peace of God rules in my life. In Colossians 3:16, let the peace of God govern your life. The peace of God and the mind of God, but you have to live by faith. You have faith with to get God's mind, and he will instruct you. I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Okay. I have set the Lord always before me. Let's look in the book of Acts and ask the disciples what's going on. They go, we're speaking in tongues. God is with us. We're not going anywhere. We're preaching the gospel. How could you do that? God is with us. He sent us. He is our counsel. God is our counsel. Why don't you run away and save your life? We don't care about that. We're occupied with God. God is with us. He's our counsel. He is present with us. In every time of need, God is taking care of us. That's what happened. That's why the church grew so much in a couple hundred years that the Holy Roman Empire, the Roman Empire became Holy Roman Empire. The politicians became Christians because the people were so many in number and different reasons. So, and what an amazing story that is. Therefore, my heart is glad, verse 9. My glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope. Okay. The woman said, I'm ostracized in society. I am bleeding. I'm unclean. By him, I'm going to go crawl through the crowd, touch the hem of his garment by faith. Jesus stopped. Who touched me? Everybody's touching. You know, somebody touched me. Virtue went out of me. How did that happen? How does God come? How does God come into your life? By faith. How do you the focus, I believe you, God. Help me in my trouble. Pray in the garage sometime before you get in the car. Or pray at home in the furnace room. Or pray in the bathroom. Or pray at night out on the sidewalk. Or pray under the apple tree. Or pray in the middle of a hot summer day. Or pray at lunchtime. Or pray at night. But pray. God is in your life. God will answer you. God is the thing that's missing many times as we're so horizontally worried and troubled and occupied with ourselves. Have a bigger context and realize that God is in your life. The Holy Spirit has been sent into your life, and have God's mind and feed your mind with these words and get that thing that woman had. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it happened, but I know that if we go by faith, that God will help us. He will be our portion. He'll be our counsel. He will deliver us. He will help us. He will satisfy us. Our Christian life will be practical. We'll be able to live in it and stand firm and do okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we want to take the word of encouragement today to our hearts and have times where we put all things down, come before you and study in reading, meditating, in prayer. It's an age of distraction, running around from one thing to the other, our minds focused on comparison, focused on our problems and ourselves, and how could this happen to me, and what has happened to me. And God says, get a focus, get a context, trust me. Maybe somebody listening, you've not come to Jesus yet in your life, in your heart, you have not opened your heart to Christ. Maybe somebody here today, you have not yet said to Christ, I need you. I need you, Jesus. I want you in my life. Come into my heart today. Give me your Holy Spirit. Give me your heart and mind. I will make the effort to walk with you. I repent of my ways and put my trust in you by faith and turn from myself to you and live godly and by faith and fill me with your Spirit and help me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Anyone saying that prayer, just raise your hand. You're saying yes to Jesus, anybody? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Yes, come on. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Anybody else? Amen. God bless you.